5 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show on this Thursday. As always, thanks for hanging out with us. Something we've been talking a lot about today, pro football focus. And expect to see a lot of this in the coming days and in the next month or so. Ranking the free agents that will be available this offseason in the NFL now that the season is over for roughly half the teams in the league. Pro Football Focus doing it in their own unique way, using kind of their grading system to rank these players and who the top 100 are. And keep in mind, I've been saying this most of the day, keep in mind, a lot of these players aren't going to see the light of day when it comes to free agency. They'll get tagged. They'll get signed. They won't be available. So don't expect that every single one of these players will be available. But as we've been looking at it here, there are four players who are currently members of the Arizona Cardinals organization who made this list. Gambo, as you pointed out, none of them are ranked particularly high.
No.
71, 75, 77, 87 are where the rankings are. We looked at the two offensive players earlier. Kelvin Beachum was number 75. Kenyon Drake was number 77. Now we look at the defensive players. Hassan Reddick, of the four, the lowest rated of the four, the 87th best free agent available. And I have to imagine that has everything to do with how poor he got off to a start when it comes to his career, and you're just not quite sure what to believe when it comes to Hassan Reddick at this point.
That's tough, right? I mean, and right now, the Cardinals have no clue. There's so many unknown factors. They don't know exactly what the cap's going to be, whether they're going to be able to keep Reddick or not. Pass rushers don't go on trees. All it takes is one team to look at him and say, hey, he's really come into his own. He'll be great. Maybe you've got a 3-4 defensive system, and you feel like he'd be a really good fit for you. Well, if that's the case, then, you're very likely going to, try to sign him, try to get him at a good deal. Now, the Cardinals can try to keep him, too, right? I mean, the Cardinals, can try to keep him. I don't think you go tag here. I don't think you go tag. I think it's more likely you try to sign him to a deal, but you could always use the tag. Or, you let the chips fall where they may. I think Darren Urban may have said it. I think that there are a couple of guys that are going to tie together, and I think that's, Golden and him and Reddick. I don't maybe Golden's cheaper and you feel like I like Marcus Golden more. That could be the case, that you like Marcus Golden. And it's hard to think that because, Reddick was so much better. But you might think that, hey, for a fraction of the price, I could have Marcus Golden and not Hassan Reddick.
That's a really interesting thought. And yeah, I believe it was Darren who had either said that or written that if Reddick, I mean, look, this time a year ago, Jordan Phillips was Hassan Reddick. And I know we've made that comp many times, but I think it's a really good one. Jordan Phillips was basically Hassan Reddick. And let's look at what happened there. And I'm not saying that the same thing's going to happen to Hassan. That's probably unfair to frame it that way. But Jordan Phillips had a career that was defined by the first 3 years, he didn't do anything statistically. And in the final year before he hit his free agency season, he was great. He was and he cashed in. Got a 3-year, $30 million deal. He has been a huge disappointment for the Cardinals since signing.
Wasn't available. Huge. Didn't give them a huge disappointment. And then some other team could make that mistake, too. That's why I touch a crapshoot. Like, there's other teams out there thinking the same thing. Man, do I want to give Hassan Reddick a 3-year deal and watch this guy revert back to being a 3 or 4 sack guy? I mean, he was so limited with what he was able to do and then finally broke out this year because the system was the right system for him, this 3-4 system. I don't think he's a player that can, really excel in a 4-3, but I think in a 3-4, I think he can. He fit a role with this team. Maybe he wants to stay. It's possible, but I think a guy like that, you only have so many, you only have the hammer so many times. When you're coming off for a year like that, you want to take advantage of it and make as much money as you can. And that's a God's honest truth. Is he's probably, if somebody's going to pay him more money than the Cardinals are going to pay him, he's probably going to go.
Yeah, and the thing is, and I think you feel the same way about this. We've had Hassan on our show a couple of times.
He's a good kid.
For him. He's a good kid. He's a good kid who was really miscast, right, and really misused. And it took several different coaching staffs and several different coaches and different systems to figure out the right role for him. So wherever he goes, whether it's the Cardinals or somewhere else, man, they better have a very specific job that they want him to fill, because we have seen him try on a variety of different roles over the years. And let's be honest, he wasn't very good at any of them until this year.
as the edge rusher in this system, he found his home. And any other place that wants him to do anything else other than that is going to be a waste of their money, and it's going to be a waste of his time. And I hope wherever he goes, he finds a role similar to what Arizona asked him to do this year, because that's what he's going to be good at.
There was seven games in which he had sacks. Seven games in which he had sacks. And one of those games, he had the five sacks against the Giants. He had two sacks against Dallas. He had one against Detroit, one against Washington, one against Philly, one and a half against San Francisco, one against Seattle. So, you look at that. Again, pass rushers, again, don't grow on trees. Everybody wants to get pass rush help. You got to, but, be careful. I mean, can he duplicate that again? Can he? And even if it doesn't have to be 12 and a half, can he go get you 10 sacks? And what's going to happen with Chandler Jones? Chandler Jones has 1 year left on his deal. Mm-hmm. There's 1 year left on the deal. I mean, you could look at it that way, too. I mean, if you like Reddick and you think he is a premier pass rusher, well, you don't want to let him go and let him blossom somewhere else. And then you let Chandler Jones go in a year. Like, I think Chandler Jones is going to be facing a Calais Campbell-type situation, a year from now. Tough decision. Do you want to pay the guy? Because he's going to want to get paid based on what his production's been in his career. Or do you let him go? Well, the Cardinals let Calais go. He signed a four-year deal with Jacksonville. He played 3 years. He helped him get to the AFC Championship game, but they never got to that fourth year. They traded him. So I think, that's the other thing you look at, too. I mean, factor in your best pass rusher was injured this year. He's over 30. And in a year, you've got to decide whether you want to keep him or you just let him go.
Yep. And then to your point about Marcus Golden, and then we'll move on to Patrick Peterson here. To your point about Marcus Golden, if you decide to let Reddick walk because somebody wants to make him a lot of money, you might be able to look at Golden and say, I can get roughly the same production from him, like you said, half the cost, a third of the cost of what Reddick gets. And that, in a year where the cap isn't going up, you might look at that. The other defensive player, as everybody would expect on this list, was Patrick Peterson. He was the highest ranked of the Arizona players, the 71st best free agent available overall. I know we're going to spend a lot of this offseason talking about Patrick Peterson in a way I feel like we already have, but by Pro Football Focus's metric, Gambo, they had 13 different cornerbacks ranked higher than Patrick Peterson on their free agency list.
Yeah, and that could be, age is going to be a factor there. The other thing I said to you earlier in the show is I really want to see, does Pat Pete want to come back? Because if he doesn't like this system, this hybrid, it's a system where you're in man and then you're in zone, and so it goes back and forth. If he wants to go to a system where he can really excel, well, that's a pure zone system. That's where he's at his best. Go to the Steelers or some team that just plays zone. That's what could be best for him, is to go to a place like that where he can literally just be in his zone system because he wants to play five more years. And if he wants to play five more years, then he probably has to go somewhere where he can look good. And if he plays in this system, I don't know that he's going to last five more years. So that's something you that he's got to think about personally.
Yeah, that is something he's got to look at. There's no doubt when he moves forward what he's going to do. But to think that there are 13 guys ahead of him, that really kind of registers.
But that bodes well for the Cardinals, too. Maybe they could get one of those guys. Desmond King. I looked at the list. There's quite a few, and some of those guys are quite a bit younger than Patrick Peterson, but it's going to cost you money. But if you feel like you can get a shutdown corner, then you do it.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the trade for Chris Paul got most of the offseason headlines surrounding the Suns. There was another veteran addition that so far is paying just as big a dividends for the Phoenix Suns. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show. I mean, look, he had a great game last night, talking about Jay Crowder. 21 points, 6 three-pointers made, 6 of 9. He was offensively, by far, in the first half, the most engaged player for the Suns. And
can
really
he be
kinda
a fan favorite?
Oh, easily. Oh, yeah.
The things about him, he might be too good, though. Sometimes a lot of the fan favorites, they like to root for the underdog. They like to root for that guy that's, doesn't get a whole lot of playing time, and then he comes into the game, and I don't know, the Pat Burks or the, what was that other guy's name? Amundsen. Remember that guy?
Lou Amundsen.
Lou Amundsen.
Paul Shirley.
Paul Shirley.
Who'd you say, Jordan?
Paul Shirley.
Paul Shirley, Jared Dudley. I don't know. I think Jay Crowder may be too good to be that, you know, that oh, I'm going to root. A lot of times that fan favorite guy, you root. No, let's get him in the game in the fourth quarter. Jay Crowder's a stud.
He's a stud.
I was thinking about that. I wonder if he could be a fan favorite for this team.
I mean, I think that's another thing about this team to think about is that there's, I mean, it's, I mean, look, I always equate it to, okay, if I were to buy a jersey of this team, whose jersey would I have? And with the Suns, it's a zero brainer, right? I mean, it's Booker. You buy a Booker jersey. If I were to buy another player's jersey on this team, or I already had a Booker jersey. See, I think that's probably who I would pick too. I think I'd pick Mikal Bridges. Doesn't it just feel like his ceiling? Like, I don't know where it's at just yet. You know, like I, a lot of these players, we kind of know who they are and who they're going to be and what their ceilings are. I don't know if we really know what Mikal Bridges' ceiling is right now. It just seems like he just keeps going up and up and up and up with how he's playing. I don't know where his ceiling is right now.
It's a really good question of what his ceiling is. My ceiling for Mikal Bridges is that your big three going forward after Chris Paul retires, you don't need another one. You've got him. He's right here. You got DeAndre, you got Booker, and you got Mikal. You got to get a point guard. But I think Mikal Bridges is turning into one of the better wing. He should be all defensive NBA first or second team this year. He should be. If he's not, it's a crime. It's a crime because he's that good. But I think he could turn into your third best player. And maybe even your second, but you know, what are the guys where you say, okay, I got three great players.
Yeah, the whole reason I brought up Crowder at the beginning and to kind of, you know, pay off the tease as we talk about it is, look, we all know the big time acquisition by the Suns this offseason was Chris Paul, and I'm not trying for a second to suggest that Jay Crowder is more important than Chris Paul, is better than Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul is a basketball Hall of Famer. All he needs to do is retire, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame like that, right? But Crowder, so far early on in this season, has really put his stamp on a few of these games. And I feel like, I don't know, like I haven't watched as much of it as you, because I've obviously been gone a lot with my dad passing away. And I haven't watched as much Suns basketball as I would have wanted to. And what I've seen, maybe it's just the games that I've watched, Gambo, I've seen Jay Crowder, it feels to me like he's having a bigger impact on these games so far than Chris Paul has. Am I nuts? Have I just not seen the right games, or am I on to at least a little something when it comes to Crowder's impact?
I think it's similar impact, but I think Chris's impact, I mean, you can't just judge it on what Chris, I mean, his leadership and getting this team to play hard and the defense. The things that Chris does, you don't really see in a box score. Jay has been a great piece. I mean, to play. So now, because Jay comes in and plays power forward, Dario goes to the bench. So he makes everything just so much smoother. And Dario's so great coming off the bench. And it allows Dario to play some five. But Jay, listen, when you start looking at the best free agent signings in Suns history, okay? And Chris Paul was a trade. Jay Crowder is going to be, you know, right up there. I mean, Rajah Bell. Grant Hill was a great free agent signing. Tom Chambers, who we had on the show. How about Steve Nash when they got Steve Nash? I mean, it's Cliff Robinson. You might someday look at the Jay Crowder, because he's here for 3 years. Look at the Jay Crowder free agent signing and say that's one of the 5 or 10 best signings in the history of the Suns. Free agent-wise. There's not a lot of them. You know, there's not. So, I mean, I think it's fair to say that he could end up being one of their better ones.
The two that stand out are Nash and Chambers. Those are the two that stand out to me in terms of free agent, giving a guy money, getting him to come here, you know, players that weren't. I mean, Nash was drafted here, but you got him back as a free agent. And look, Jay's got a long way to go before he's. And look, I'll be honest with you, I looked at his game log, and again, this is me having not watched every minute of Suns basketball this year because of what's been going on in my life. It seems like the games that I did watch were the ones where he played really, really well. Where the ones were just, man, his, and then the ones where I didn't watch, it seemed like he had lesser nights. The ones I did happen to catch, his fingerprints were just all over those games. Just seems like Jay Crowder, I think I'm thinking of the Pelicans game in particular. I watched a lot of that game when I was with my dad, and I was like, man, this Jay Crowder's killing it. He, what a pick. And then last night, same thing. He's been terrific. Chris Paul is Chris Paul, and Chris Paul does so much beyond, like you say, just the basketball to exude his leadership. And I think Chris Paul wanting to come here opened the door for a guy like Jay Crowder to want to come here. I don't know if Crowder comes here unless he knows Chris Paul wants to be here. That's got to go hand in hand with
this. No, probably not. I mean, probably not. But, you know, here's what I like. I mean, I simply have seen way too many free agents come here and not give it their all and steal money, and not help this organization get any better. For years, we've seen that. Hakeem Warwick, Josh Childress, Trevor Ariza. I mean, I could make a list. If I had 5 minutes, that would be five pages long. I mean, how often do they sign free agents that have made an impact? That, you know, they just have it. Now, maybe they come here and they get beaten down by all the losing, and, you know, the culture may have beaten them down, and the constant changes of coaches and GMs. I mean, maybe that's a factor. And maybe now with stability, with Monty, with James Jones, you come here and you don't have to worry about the distractions and the culture because everything is good. You got a great practice facility. You got a great arena. Getting treated better. Like, everything is easy. Now you just go play basketball. And maybe that has a factor. But Jay Crowder, he's a winner. He's been in a lot of playoff games. And getting him was a... They're not 6-2 if Crowder's not on this team and they just have Chris Paul. They're not. So that's the best way to look at it. Yep. Are they 6-2 if they don't have Jay Crowder? No, they're not.
No, they're not. They're not. Yep. They're not. And I like the fact that he's going to be here for 3 years, and that, I mean, bridging, you know, whenever Chris Paul decides to walk away, after a couple of years from now, to know that you still have another year of Jay Crowder and how he's playing is great. I do want to pass this along because this is just coming down. ASU basketball is in action tonight, taking on UCLA. And they are going to be missing a whole bunch of guys tonight. Remy Martin is going to be attending a family funeral. He's out. Jalen Graham has mono. He's out. Tayshaun Cherry, non-disciplinary, non-injury. He's out. Jalen House, non-disciplinary, non-injury. All four of those guys out tonight against UCLA. That is going to be tough news against the Bruins tonight. Tough.
Yeah, that's, boy, yeah. They're up against it for sure without all those players.
Yeah, I just wanted to pass that along because it just kind of crossed my desk a moment ago. That game starts at 8:30 tonight, I believe, with ASU taking on UCLA. So when we come back, the Arizona Cardinals going to have the 16th pick in this year's draft. They have lots of options in which direction they could go with the selection. One of the biggest mock drafters in the country is offering a suggestion, and Gambo and I hate it. We'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Thursday afternoon here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 5:30, and we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Todd McShay, mock drafter for an NFL draft expert for ESPN.
Save this
mock
one.
Draft. I'm sorry?
We should always save the first ones. By their last one, they're able to get like 7 right. By their first ones, they might get like 2 right or 3 right. I mean, it's just, I'm serious. The first ones are always the fascinating ones to me. Not the ones that come out 3 days before the draft.
I'm looking to see McShay Mock Draft 2020 1.0. Let's see. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Oh, which one is this?
This is McShay's first mock draft from last year's draft.
2020. Okay, and I'll do the NFL draft and just get the players lined up.
He had Burrow number 1 to the Bengals.
Got that right.
He had Chase Young number 2 to the Giants.
Okay, you always get the first two right.
He had Jerry Jeudy number 3 to Washington. They swept.
No.
Wait.
The Lions had that pick. The Lions got a Cuda.
That's right. The Lions moved up, so there was a trade. There was a trade because Washington moved up to number two, didn't they? To get Chase Young.
Yeah, Washington moved up to two, got Chase Young. Detroit got a coup at three.
Okay. This is a mock draft, so this doesn't have the actual real draft order. So I apologize for that. Tua number four to Miami. Akuda number five to the Lions. CeeDee Lamb number six to the Arizona Cardinals. Jets number seven taking Andrew Thomas. Jacksonville taking Isaiah Simmons at number eight. So obviously the order isn't exactly right, right? Because there were trades and things like that. But when is this? Oh, okay. Okay, here's why. Okay, I'm sorry. Here's why the order's not right. This is from December 16th. So this is before the regular season even ended.
Okay? Oh, gotcha. Okay. Okay.
So he was basing his draft order. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I didn't look at the date. I'm like, this is all wrong. Order's all wrong. What the hell's going on here? Now I know why. He did the draft as of December 16th. There was still like 3 weeks left in the season when he did it. And so the order wasn't set. So, okay, that explains why. Anyway, so pretty close, right? Kind of, sort of. I mean, not too far off with some
of those early ones, right? I mean, so you would have got Tua going to Miami and Burrow going to Cincy and Chase Young. I think those ones with it. Then it just gets hard. I mean, it gets really difficult after that trying to figure out who's. I mean, a lot of it's just a guessing game and trying to match needs to a team.
Yeah, it is. And so, okay, so enough of that because that might have been a painful exercise that was unnecessary. His current mock draft. Mock draft 1.0 with not knowing the order of the back end, obviously, because of the playoffs. With the 16th pick in the draft, he has got the Cardinals taking running back Travis Etienne from Clemson at number 16. And you and I both don't like it at all. You first.
I just don't want a running back in the first round. I need a corner. I might need a wide receiver. I could always use pass rush help. I don't want to get a running back in the first round. I want one later. I want one in the third round. Maybe even the second,
you sound like
the third.
You sound like a little kid. I don't want a running back in the draft. Yeah. I don't want one. Yeah. I don't want one.
It's like those that I laughed my ass off with that commercial. What did you get? I got a car insurance. I get to customize my car insurance. And what did you get? I got a bike. Kicks the bike.
And then you kick it. What did you get in the draft?
Back.
I got a running back.
I don't want a running back in the first round. I want one later. I don't want one now. Yeah, I just, I'm okay with getting a running back later in the draft. I'm okay with a running back in free agency. And I know I have Chase Edmonds, and I like Chase. I don't think Chase can, handle the load, 16 games, 20 carries a game. But I like Chase, and if I can get another player, and maybe I get one in free agency and I get one in the draft. But I just, I got to get more value out of that first round pick. 16 is a tough spot to pick in, but because again, at 16, you take a look at the positions that you want, and it's usually the top two guys at your position are gone. Top two offensive linemen are gone. Top two defensive linemen are gone. Top two cornerbacks are gone. Top two wide receivers are gone. That's the tough part about picking where you're picking. You're not getting one of the top players at their position. So now you got to be smart. You got to get the best player.
Yeah. Look, my criticism of this is 100% aligned with yours, and it doesn't have anything to do with not liking Etienne as a player. I like him a lot. I think he'll help somebody a lot. I think he's a really good player. I just don't want my team taking a running back in the first round. Late in the first round, and even then, that was a disaster for the Cardinals a decade ago when they took Beanie Wells at the end of the first round. I mean, that just wasn't, to me, my sense of value of running backs, and you know how I feel about running backs in this league, it's gotten to the point where I don't really want to pay them, and I don't really want to draft them very high in the draft. I just don't feel like, sorry, no offense, running backs, I just don't feel like the value is there. I'd rather find an offensive lineman who could be a cornerstone for me for 10 years. And I think that's the reason why, Gambo. I figured it out. There is zero chance. Okay, maybe not zero. There is a 2% chance that you will draft a cornerstone player for 10 years if you take a running back in the first round. A 2% chance at best. A running back will be a cornerstone player for you for a decade if you take one in the first round of the draft. Whereas at least if you take an offensive lineman, a cornerback, an edge rusher,
at least you're giving yourself a chance as an organization of taking a player that has a chance to be really good for you for 10 years. You don't have that chance if you take a running back. He's not going to be good for you 10 years from now. He's just not. It's just not how it works. So don't take one in the first round.
Look, I think Simmons is going to be a really good pick for the Cardinals, and I think he'll play a lot next year because I think they'll get rid of Devontae Campbell. They could add Tristan Wirfs. He might be the best right tackle in football right now, and Tampa Bay got him at the 13th pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and they could have, and they didn't. I like Isaiah Simmons too. I just think running backs. No way. A listener sent you a list of
top eight running backs
this year.
Yeah, the top eight running backs this year. That as far as yardage is concerned, I'm going to call it up now, were not first-round picks. They were second-round picks. They were undrafted free agents. But if you go to the running backs, and I'm going to go to that now, offensive leaders, rushing, and if you go to each one, so Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, David Montgomery, James Robinson, Nicholas Chubb, Josh Jacobs. I believe all of those guys were picks that were, yeah. So Derrick Henry, second round, 45th pick overall for Derrick Henry. Dalvin Cook, second round, 41st pick overall. He was the second leading rusher. Jonathan Taylor for the Colts, second round pick, 41st overall. He was the third leading rusher. Aaron Jones, Green Bay Packers, fifth round pick, 182nd overall, and he was fourth. And I'll just do top five because I don't want to go through each one. David Montgomery, third-round pick, Iowa State, third-round pick. So your top five running backs, there's no first-round picks there, and your next few are. So, I mean, that's your leading rushers in the NFL, and none of them are first-round picks.
Yeah, it's not until you get, and I was working ahead a little bit while you were doing this. Josh Jacobs, who is the eighth leading running back with 1,065 yards, he was a first-round pick. You have to go all the way down to number eight. Number nine is Lamar Jackson, who's a quarterback, obviously. Number 10 is Melvin Gordon.
He was a first-rounder. Ezekiel Elliott was a first-rounder. Ronald Jones, good running back, right? Almost 1,000 yards with Tampa. Pretty good this year for them. Second round pick. So you could get them. I mean, that's the thing. I think you could get a good. Now, you know, maybe there's a, you know, I know you like to say, is it quarterbacks you don't like to get past the middle of the second round? Is that your philosophy?
It's quarterbacks typically that I think if you draft a quarterback beyond the middle of the second round, the chances of that guy being good are really, really slim.
Yeah, I don't think there's
anything
like that with running backs.
Because by then, all the teams that needed one have taken one.
I don't think there's anything like that with running backs. You could get them in the second round. More of these guys are second round picks than first round picks or third round picks or fourth round picks. But I think you could get, you know, you can get them in the second, you can get them in the third, you can get them in the fourth. There's not a time capsule like you got to stop. You know, you can't take a running back in the fifth round. There's been plenty of running backs that have been good later in the draft.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we'll take an even deeper dive into this thing with the Cardinals and McShay's prediction of Travis Etienne from Clemson, from quarterbacks to even some other positions of need for the Cardinals. There were a lot of other interesting nuggets out of McShay's mock. We'll go over it next on the Burns and Gambo show. So we just got done telling you about Todd McShay's first mock draft of the year. Mock draft 1.0, in which he predicts the Arizona Cardinals will take Clemson running back Travis Etienne with the 16th pick overall in the draft. Gambo doesn't like it. I don't like it. It's nothing against the kid. Kid's fine. Good player. I'm sure he'll make somebody very, very happy. I do not want my team taking a running back in the first round of the NFL draft. I just don't. You don't either. I just don't think there's any value in taking a position, a player at that position in the first round of draft.
You know what sucks? Man, we should be talking about the Cardinals getting ready to play the damn Saints.
I know. Believe me.
I'm looking at the mock draft to see what the Cardinals are going to do with the people think they're going to do with the 16th pick instead of breaking down how they're going to shut down Drew Brees.
Yep. Trust me. That
junk is not lost on me at all right now. I mean, like at one point, I saw the mock draft. So did you. You were prepping for your show, for our show at your house. I was prepping at my house. And I saw the mock draft, and I had exactly the same thought. I said, man, this is half of our audience is going to go, God, really? Mock drafts? And it's like, well, yeah, because you know what? They were 5-2, 6-3. They didn't make the playoffs. This is what we have. This is what we're left with. Trying to figure out what happened with the 16th pick in the draft. This is exactly what happens.
Yeah, once your team's out of it, you stop focusing on the damn draft. Just saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be honestly talking about a matchup against the New Orleans Saints.
Yep. We should be talking about the Saints defense and how it's one of the best in the NFL and how they're going to limit Kyler Murray and how is Murray's health and is, you know, is Larry Fitzgerald back and ready to play? How can they better utilize Christian Kirk? Nope, we're not talking about any of that. How do you stop Drew Brees? Are they going to be able to pressure Drew Brees? How do you keep Alvin Kamara from going? No, we're just focused on, you know, free agents and draft picks, and it's no
who's staying, who's going. I mean, that should have been put off a little bit. Couldn't win one of the last two games, and so we get to this point where we look at mock drafts and stuff like that. Which, listen, we're going to get to that eventually. It just would have been nice if it could have been delayed a little bit longer.
I had the exact same thought when I was getting ready for the show. I'm like, man, really? Already? Yep, already. A couple other things from this mock draft that should be pointed out. And again, like we said before, look, it's the first mock draft of 10,000 that are going to come out. So it's not like it's not predictive. It's not going to be very accurate. It's a crapshoot. It's beyond that, actually. It's an even less accurate crapshoot than what you normally get out of mock drafts. But it is interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, the quarterbacks he has going and where he has them going. He's got Trevor Lawrence of Clemson going to Jacksonville. He doesn't have the Jets taking one. He's got him taking Sewell, the offensive lineman out of Oregon. Doesn't have Miami taking one at number three. He's got your guy Zach Wilson out of BYU going to the Falcons at number four as a replacement eventually for Matt Ryan. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that I think Zach Wilson is the real deal. Atlanta is talking about possibly trading Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. So completely starting over. And if they do that, that would be a great landing spot for one of those quarterbacks. Now, he's got Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, the kid from North Dakota State, and a Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback, as his first-round quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterback-needy teams, man. There is a lot. Because of the age of some of the quarterbacks, because of the failures of some of the quarterbacks. So I'm always interested to see where he's got them going. So he's got Mac Jones going to Indianapolis, Trey Lance going to Washington, Justin Fields going to New England at 15, which seems, I like Zach Wilson ahead of him. I do. Ain't no way Justin Fields is falling to 15. You see the way he played against Clemson? He was on fire. I mean, he played on. He was hitting that tight end like it was taking candy from a baby. He had a great game. I don't think he falls that far.
No, I don't think he does either. I don't think there's any way he falls that Justin Fields is available at number 15. He's got, you mentioned the five quarterbacks in the first round. He's got five of them going in the first 21 picks. He points out only once in the common draft era have there been five quarterbacks drafted in the first 21 picks, and that was 1999 when Tim Couch led that pack of five in the first 12 selections. So he thinks this year's draft could potentially rival that in terms of these five guys with how early they go. That's the number one thing. And again, just to kind of circle back on this, interesting, though, that you could argue the Jets need one. He says no. You could maybe kind of argue the Dolphins might want to think about it, but he says no. He's got him taking the Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver out of Alabama, Devontae Smith. The other interesting thing to me, and this speaks directly to the Cardinals, the first thing I looked at were not the quarterbacks, but the cornerbacks. He's got three of them going before the Cardinals pick at number 16, and in something that makes me very, very nervous, he doesn't have another one going until the very last pick of the first round, which makes me fear that there's a big drop-off between the top three guys and the fourth guy. Yeah. That makes me nervous for the Cardinals at 16.
Well, and it's very simple. I mean, you can't reach for a need there if there's a big drop-off. They did that many, many years ago when they took Tommy Knight as their third cornerback. You got to, and that's why, you know, best player is always the, you know, the theme, and if people talk about it, maybe people get sick of it, but it always is, you got to get the best player. And, you know, you could always use offensive linemen, and you could always use defensive linemen, and you could always use secondary guys. So, and you could always use wide receivers. Look, the Cardinals come out with a wide receiver? Okay. Come out with a quarterback? Okay. Come out with an offensive lineman? Okay. Defensive lineman? Okay. Tight end? You know, maybe tight end. I know people love that Florida kid, and he's good. But maybe we question for tight end. Running back? Yeah, we know they don't want a running back. But, you know, that's the thing. There's just a lot of... There are several positions. Get the best player at one of those positions. Don't reach for a corner if there's not a great one there.
You mentioned the Tommy Knight year. I just looked it up. That was 1997.
Oh, let me guess. I Sean Springs.
He was the first defensive back to go at number three overall.
Okay. Was that the Lions?
He went to Seattle.
Seattle. Okay. And then the other guy, and I always forget, it was a Syracuse cornerback.
No, he was Texas.
Well, then what was Springs, Syracuse?
Sean Springs was Ohio State. One was Bryant Westbrook.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, he went to Detroit. So the top two cornerbacks go off the board, and then Tommy Knight is the third. The Cardinals take him. They could have had Walter. No, they couldn't have had Walter Jones.
What draft was that? Gone.
That was the 1997 NFL draft.
Oh, 1997. God, the memory's just not working. The memory's just not working the way it used to, my friend. Yeah, I knew there were two, and then Tommy Knight was third, but I can't. I remember Sean Springs, but I couldn't remember who the other cornerback was. You're right. There was it was Westbrook.
Westbrook
was the next. Man, why did I think there was a Syracuse guy in there?
I don't know. I'll leave you to think about that all night long while you're watching sports.
I won't think about it for more than like 5 seconds.
It's our Coors Light. What's on tonight? Games that we're going to watch this evening. Brought to you by Coors Light. ASU basketball, 8:30 p.m. tip time, a late one. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You've also got U of A basketball tonight. They're taking on USC. That game starts at 7 o'clock. So a double dip, if you will, of college basketball, of Pac-12 college basketball.
You know the Cardinals got in the second round of that draft.
Who? Quick,
Jake Plummer.
We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock, right here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.